Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Ricky Watson Show. So glad you guys have decided to tune in for another week. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed last week's episode. Thank all of you for tuning in. I love the feedback. I love that you're listening. I love that you are enjoying. So I think this is going to be a good journey. I'm excited about where we're headed. So thank you guys again for tuning in. And we are going to jump right into today's topics. We got a couple of things I want to talk about, lay out before you, think through. Please leave your comments, post, find me on social media, leave your comments and all those things, because I want to hear from you guys about what you're thinking, how you're feeling, how you're responding to the things that we talk about. So keep me in the loop on that, guys. First thing on the agenda this week is let's talk about Dr. Gay. All right. She was the first black president for Harvard. And that is an historical moment, a great moment. We celebrated it shortly after the celebration. You know, 6 months later, she resigns. And for those of you that don't know that story, of course, Dr. Gay became the first black president of Harvard about 6 months ago. And then she became a part of congressional hearings regarding anti-Semitism on the back of this war that is going on between Israel and Hamas. And I do want to say, I do know that's a sensitive topic. I do know it's a sensitive issue. However, my thoughts and prayers go out to the Palestinians as well as the Israelis. And I think that is the Christian way to respond to that. Of course, there are a lot of religious overtones, undertones attached to this war, a lot of different sides. I may touch on that on one of these episodes now that I'm thinking about it, to get more into it, because I think that there are definitely biblical religious tones attached to the war. And I think it's imperative that we understand that and that we remember to be kind and compassionate regardless of our religious or political views. That's my brief thoughts on that. And I may touch on that at a later time. But she was called in for congressional hearings regarding anti-Semitism on the campus of Harvard. And she made a statement, and people have opinions about that statement. I'm going to share mine, actually. But she made a statement and she refused under oath. I believe it was about 17 times. Yeah, it was 17 times she refused to call out under oath the extermination of the Jewish people, which that should be commended. I commend her for that. I stand with her on that. I am in full agreement with her on that. Okay, so let's kind of walk through this timeline of Dr. Gay and put ourselves in the story here. So on July 1st, Gay becomes the 30th president of Harvard. That's July 1st, 2023. The 30th president of Harvard, the first black president of Harvard. And a black woman at that. I love that. All right, October 7th, several Harvard student groups issue a statement after Hamas launched terrorist attacks in Israel that killed more than 1,200, stating that Israeli policies referencing the humanitarian crisis in Gaza are entirely responsible for all unfolding violence. The letter, of course, prompted fierce backlash with some Jewish students at the university saying that they felt isolated and scared following the letter's publication. All right, now by October 24th, the New York Post reaches out, approaches Harvard asking for a comment on more than two dozen instances in which Dr. Gay's words appeared to closely be very much in line with every other academic institution that had came forth and made a statement. And then on November 30th, Harvard becomes a part of a group of universities that are being investigated for hate crimes against Jewish people and Islamic people as well, right? So the investigation starts on December 5th is when the first statement is made that causes this whole debacle. And basically it is how Dr. Gay answered the question. And the question was this: does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules on bullying and harassment? Gay's response was, and I quote, The rules around bullying and harassment are quite specific, and if the context in which that language is used amounts to bullying and harassment, then we take action against it. Now, people did not like her response because they did not feel like it was direct enough. It was straightforward enough. I thought it was okay. However, I understand people who feel affected by the hatred that is going on in the country. You want people to vocalize things and you want people to be direct. Because I do understand that in being indirect, it does not create a space for safety. And that is one of the lessons I feel like we should have extracted from that moment, is that being direct has nothing to do with being rude, has nothing to do with being exclusive, has nothing to do with any of that, or it doesn't have to be, rather. It really does. When you can have conversations with people, when you can represent people, when you can stand before people and be direct, it creates space for safety. And when people feel safe, then it will increase the functionality of whatever is going on. So if you want, you know, your workplace to feel safe, if you are a manager, you've got to practice being direct, because it's going to create that atmosphere of safety, right? So I do think that was a lesson to learn from there. However, I do also get why Dr. Gay said it the way she did. But she did something remarkable. She came back and she apologized. She apologized, right? And I want us to be aware of that. And that is on December 7th. It's documented. She came back and she basically said words matter. And I love this because she said, when words amplify distress and pain, I don't know how you could feel anything but regret. I loved it. I thought it was mature. I thought it was responsible. However, after that, we don't see Dr. Gay kind of regain good momentum as the president of Harvard at that point. I mean, it is ongoing chaos and mess, and there are discussions about, it's almost like mob-based, that is just the attacks against her. She talked about when she released statements, you know, death threats against her life, put her in a horrible situation. And so Dr. Gay then decides to announce her resignation as president on January 2nd of this year in a lengthy letter to the school community. And of course, I'm not going to read all of it. However, I will read this part. This is not a decision I came to easily. Indeed, it has been difficult beyond words because I have looked forward to working with so many of you to advance the commitment to academic excellence that has propelled this great university across centuries. But after consultation with members of the corporation, it has become clear that it is in the best interest of Harvard for me to resign so that our community can navigate this moment of extraordinary challenge with a focus on the institution rather than any individual. And of course, the statement continues. Now, I admire what I've seen thus far from Dr. Gay. I really do. And it's really unfortunate, in my opinion, that she had to step down from her role, because I think now, even though all of the conversation, the issue was around hatred, we just moved now and we're seeing it right before our eyes, a demonstration and a defense against the hatred for Jewish people, against the hatred for Islamic people. And yet we're turning around and exerting and demonstrating that hatred towards a black woman while she's attempting to defend and protect people from experiencing that level of hatred in their own lives. I think the dichotomy of it all, it shows us very plainly, and my own thoughts on the plight of the black woman in this country. But I think it shows us that once again, we have a black woman who has been crucified because she did not say everything perfectly, or she didn't do everything perfectly in everybody's eyes. Yet, what she was attempting to do was defend a group of people and protect a group of people from experiencing the type of hatred that she turned around and ended up experiencing herself. I think we ought to be ashamed. And I think we ought to look at how we are treating everybody. Everybody. And we've got to deal with the level of hatred that people are spewing on people and using religion to defend it, using money to defend it, using greed to defend it. But at the core of this is hatred. And I think that is what we see platform throughout this entire scenario, is we see the power, the dangers, and the deficits that hatred creates. This is what we should take from this moment. I want you, if there is anything in your life, because you got to make it real. You know, we can get on Google, get on YouTube, look at all these stories, look at all this that's happening in people's lives and shake our heads, form our opinions and move on with our lives. But we've got to start realizing that life is teaching us something. Everything in life is a teaching moment. Everything in life is a teaching moment, which is why failure is never really failure. It's a teaching moment. It can become a success if it can teach you something. But, you know, that's a side trail. But everything in life is teaching you something. Everything that is happening in life is providing an opportunity to be your teacher. And so what is this moment teaching us is that we've got to deal with the hatred in our hearts. And we've got to deal with the things that we attach to our hatred to defend it, to protect it, to propagate it in other people's lives. We've got to deal with that. Hatred is not okay, because what it will do is that it will rob people of safety. It will rob people of growth, and it will rob people of optimal functionality. Now, what do I mean by that? What we see is that because hatred is the bedrock of this, it robs people of the ability to work together. And the human race does not work unless we work together. It doesn't work unless we work together. Nothing works without community. Nothing works without support. And so I just think we've got to deal with this, the hatred in our hearts. I think we've got to deal with the things that we call our preferences and prejudices and all of those things. We've got to deal with that, because this is a sad, 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 unfortunate situation that Dr. Gay has found herself in. And I really pray and hope that, you know, God leads her, guides her, opens up new opportunities, restores her name, gives her great professional advancement. I really hope that. But I'm really, 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 really sad to hear about her resignation and how it happened, and the fact that it happened to a Black woman while trying to protect people who are experiencing hate. I just want us to put that in the context, that a Black woman resigned from a role because of the hatred she was receiving, because she didn't do everything right in everybody's eyes. However, while this happened, she decided to resign while defending and protecting. Quite sad, quite unfortunate. And I really pray the blessings of God upon her. All right. We're going to take a short break and come back with our next topic. And let's talk about this Cat Williams interview. All right. See y'all in a sec. All right. So Cat Williams had the internet in a knot over the weekend and over the past couple of days with this 3-hour long interview he did with Shannon Sharp. Now, it was 3 hours. It really was. I think I went through the first 2 hours. We went to bed and I woke up and finished the next hour. The next day was a lot. But I mean, and Cat Williams said a lot of stuff. He came for a lot. Once again, we are seeing this setting the record straight type mood that 2024 has walked up in here with. The records are being set right. I enjoyed the interview. Cat got to tell his truth. I mean, 3,000 books in a year. That's a lot, Cat. I mean, that's 8 to 10 books a day you had to read. Now, if you read 8 to 10, you know, small books, I get it. I'm with it. I rock with it. But 3,000 books in a year, that's wild, man. However, I did feel encouraged that I need to be reading more. I was proud of my little 24 books in a year. But I'm like, dang, I need to be reading more. Even though this is a wild lie. alleged lie. You know, I think it's a lie. We'll see what comes up. Out. But yeah, I enjoyed the interview. Cat came for everybody. Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, Kevin Hart, which is the Kevin Hart piece was a little interesting to me. I was intrigued by it. I'm actually not a fan of Kevin Hart. And when I say fan, I mean, I'm not a super fan. I mean, I don't see Kevin Hart's name on anything and think automatically I'm going to laugh. That's not me. Now, I know people love Kevin Hart, and I love that. I love his work ethic. Love what I've seen of him. I mean, he's just not that funny to me. However, people love him. All of that, his comments about Kevin, though, being an industry plant was quite interesting. That's going to be interesting to watch unfold and to see what all comes out of that. Some people believe it, some people don't. I'm in the middle of the ground on that. I don't know what I believe or think about that, but it is interesting, and I'm probably more open to it because I'm not a super fan for Kevin Hart, so that probably creates a bias as well. But yeah, the interview was crazy. It was wild. But I think one of the things, again, to highlight out of this, or what this moment can teach us, is that truth only remains mute for a season. These are things that we learned in this moment. Truth only remains mute for a season. It's not an eternal mute. Truth eventually will grab the microphone of your life and start talking. And I know we love to see that, again, when it comes to gossip and tea and craziness and drama going on, but I want us to look at that in our lives, that truth will grab the microphone of your life at some point, which means that what you want to always be is honest with yourself. Forget about being honest with people. That's the byproduct of it. We've got to start with being honest with yourself. Honest with you. Am I offended? Why am I offended? Am I bothered by this? Why am I bothered by this? Am I really upset that I didn't get that job opportunity? Why am I upset about that? Why is it that this person irritate me? Be honest with yourself about that. Be honest with yourself about where you are, how you got there, what you are upset about in life, what you are happy about in life. All of that, what leads to self-awareness? Because when you are not self-aware, you become a liability to your future. I'm going to say that to you again. When you are not self-aware, you become a liability to your future. And what Cat Williams has demonstrated for us, if nothing else, is that he's demonstrated several things about the power of truth. Is that truth leads to self-awareness. Truth leads to self-confidence. Truth will lead to justice, and truth always leads to freedom. Right? Those are things that we saw through that interview, among all of the other crazy stuff that Kat talked about. Right? But I do feel like it was a very teachable moment, and it was something, again, that I feel like life is trying to teach us and God is trying to inform us about in the year 2024, is the power, the safety of truth. That's what we learned. So that was good stuff. That was a good moment to learn something from that interview. I enjoyed it, to say the least. I really did. All right. Now we're going to wrap up this show talking about Miss Kelly Price and her recent statements and my thoughts about that. So let's talk about it. All right. So we got Miss Kelly Price, R&B singer, gospel singer, you know, a singer, a recording artist for sure. So a couple of days ago, she gets on social media and she's celebrating her husband's birthday, singing him a happy birthday song, talking about the cake she made. The husband appears to be so, you know, disinterested, seems to be annoyed, seems to appear to be ungrateful, all that stuff. So people start going in on the comments because, you know, like I said, anything that goes on social media, everybody becomes a professional accredited critic. So everybody had opinions and comments and was vocalizing that on there and talking about her husband. Kelly gets upset about that And she responds. Now, in her response to defend her husband, she starts talking about Sunday's best judges. Because people are talking about how, you know, as a Christian, you should be talking like this. Because in her response to people talking about her husband, you know, she uses a few cuss words, that type of stuff. And then all of a sudden, I guess people get amnesia. I'm totally confused by people's response, but that's neither here nor there. But they tell her, you know, as a woman of God, Christian woman, you should be talking like that, blah, blah, blah. She gets on and goes after Sunday's best judges and talks about, you know, them being pastor hoes, them being pedophiles, them fornicating, and her being the only one, is what she said, the only one that was not sleeping with other people's spouses, fornicating, or participating in sexual activity with children. Right, that's what she says. So then that causes a whole stir, a whole blow. Everybody's like, oh my God, who is she talking about? There were several judges on one season. She comes out and clarifies that she is narrowing it down to when she was on Sunday's Best with Erica Campbell, with Kirk Franklin, and Jonathan McReynolds. She comes and says all that. And so she has all these critiques on, you know, that needs to get rectified, and that needs to God's hand and deliverance before y'all come and check for me and talk about me. Now, several problems with this, several problems, several issues with this, and several things that I feel like, again, this moment can teach us. Number one, I think we've got to deal with the issue of judging, who gets the right to judge, where's the rubric for judging, where you should go with your judgment. These are ethical things that if we're going to make it about being Christian and we're going to make it about being godly, then we have to address. And so one of the things that we're going to have to start dealing with is just because people say they believe in God and believe in Jesus does not make them a Christian, number one, right? The Bible says that the demons believe and they tremble. So there's a reverence and a respect and an acknowledgement of God. And yet they're still demons. So I don't know why we then start talking about humans and don't think that the same thing can happen. There can be an acknowledgement of God or a reverence for him, and you still not be one of his. All God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Now, with that being said, judgment as it pertains to the body of Christ and it pertains to people who are part of the church should start in the church. I'm not coming to your house to judge your house. I don't live there. I have no authority there. I have no influence there. I don't get to tell you what to do in your house because I'm not a part of it. Just like you would not walk into a boardroom of a corporation and tell them how to run their business. You don't work there. You're not a part there. And if you were working there, if you did not sit in a certain seat in leadership, you still were not afforded the right to vocalize your opinions or judgments. It is the same with the church. If you're going to make a judgment regarding the church, I think you need to, number one, be a part of it, right? And number two, I think you need to be in a certain role to issue that judgment. Have an opinion. Have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion, right? But your opinion does not gain authority just because you have one and just because, you know, you want to feel valued and important and all that good stuff. But so one of the things that I think this teaches us is if you're going to make a judgment of the church, number one, you need to be a part of her. Number two, there is a place for that judgment, and it's not on social media for the world to see. And again, I'm not telling people not to be honest, not to vocalize their truth, but one of the things that we've got to begin to balance that out with is that people love to have a parade for truth. But one of the things that the scriptures do not do is that it does not promote truth over a gentleness and kindness. And those things are equalists. Now, neither does it promote gentleness and kindness over truth. It promotes it together. If there's going to be truth, it needs to be gentle. Otherwise, it's carnal. It's fleshly. It's potentially demonic and potentially witchcraft. So truth has to be mixed with gentleness and kindness, because any truth that's not edifying is not truth that has come motivated by the Spirit of God. And I think what we've got to do in this culture is there's going to be the sounding of alarms, especially it looks like in this year, regarding truth and regarding true things coming out and truth being revealed. But as Christians, we cannot serve people truth without gentleness and kindness, right? It is all a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so God's not going to give you truth and it's half baked and it's not mixed well with the character of God. And so that's a way for us to learn when God is issuing or God is promoting the release of truth and God is backing a judgment is this truth, but is it mixed with kindness and is it mixed with gentleness? Because if not, then though it may be true, it's not going to edify. Is not going to actually cause constructive surgery on the soul like it should. And if that's not the intent for your truth, then what you may need is healing. You don't need to be the announcer of a judgment. You need to be healed first so that you can accurately be a bearer of accurate assessment, accurate judgment from God's point of view. That's my opinion on that. Kelly can say what she want to say. However, I do not think the church needs to respond to this as if she is a leader in the kingdom of God. She is not. She is not. She is an influencer, but she's not a leader. Though her statements may be true, I don't know if they are wrapped in gentleness and kindness. And so because of that, it's going to go with the next news cycle. Nothing is going to be established because of it. Nothing's going to be altered because of it. However, her opinion would have been shared and her opinion would have been passed around. And you can do whatever you want with it. However, as far as it being authorized judgment and indictment against the body of Christ, I think that's far-fetched. And I think it's inappropriate for who she is and where she sits in the body of Christ. My personal opinion on that. Again, this is my show. So we got all these things happening over the last week. And again, life is teaching you something. Pay attention to what's happening. Because life is teaching. Life is teaching us through Dr. Gay's resignation with Harvard. Life is teaching us through this Cat Williams interview. Life is teaching us through Kelly Price sharing her opinion about the gospel music industry. Life is teaching you. And so this week, I want you to slow down and pay attention to the lessons God is trying to teach you in life. Because a lesson today is only training for the future. That's the purpose of a lesson. It's training you for the future. You have purpose. You have a destiny. You have an expected end. You have something that God has sent you to the planet to walk out. But what you learn today will determine how you show up for the future God has designed for your life. So, yeah, thank y'all for tuning in for another week, another episode of the Ricky Watson Show. Hope you gained something. Hope you learned something. And I hope to see you again next week, same time, same place. Peace out, y'all.